email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There's a great documentary on RTE 1 tonight, which comes highly recommended from here. It's on after the news. It's called Barney Curley, The Man Who Beat the Bookies, all about the horse trainer who pulled off an extraordinary betting coup in 1975. And the man who made the film, made the documentary, is with us now, Ross Whittaker. How are you doing, Ross?
I'm doing great.
It's a little bit, it's tinged with a lot of sadness because Barney died in May of this year.
That's right, yeah. So I suppose it's a combination of telling his great story and a bit of a tribute to him as well at the same time.
Yeah. And you interviewed him we 2 years ago, just coming up to 2 years ago. Yeah.
2019, you told me before, because I've lost track of all time at this stage. But yeah.
So you spent a bit of time in his company. What type of man was he? Where was he from?
Yeah, he's an amazing man. I actually only spent that one day with him, and but he kind of blew me away. Just a man with a great aura, and you could tell just like a really interesting mind and that kind of stuff. And his backstory was he was from Northern Ireland, Fermanagh, born in 1939. Back then, Catholics in Northern Ireland had few opportunities. And eventually he sought out his own opportunities and ended up managing show bands, but eventually getting into horse racing, gambling and pulling off this very, very famous coup in 1975.
Yeah. So he went from working in Britain, studying to be a Jesuit priest, then the show bands, and then a career gambler.
Yeah.
And trainer as well. And
a trainer, or horse owner. I think he managed to combine all those things very well, because a lot of his bigger gambles that he won with were on his own horses.
Okay.
You know, so he kind of probably knew how to trick the bookies a little bit in terms of when he had a horse that he knew was probably better than people suspected.
Uh-huh.
And then he knew to make those bets, I suppose.
And that was the case. And he's done a number of coups, but the one you're concentrating on is from 1975, Bellewstown Racecourse, and the horse in question was Yellow Sam.
Yeah, Yellow Sam became a very famous horse because he was actually not a very good horse, but he was in a very bad race. Right. And Barney figured this out, or figured out that he'd had huge losses, I think, in the build-up to it, and he needed to have one last kind of go at it to see could he win everything back and more. And so he came up with this huge kind of plan, a huge feat of plan. He had 300 people around Ireland putting money on for him, but he had to make sure it kept it completely quiet from the bookies. He had this horse that no one expected to win. He had a jockey, that Michael Furlong, who managed to keep his mouth shut, even though he didn't really know what was going on. And the biggest thing was that he managed to stop the information getting to the race course.
And that's why he chose Bellewstown.
Exactly, because Bellewstown had one phone line into the race course.
Which was in a telephone box.
Yeah. Which was in a telephone box. And so, very quickly explained,
yes,
in those days, the starting price of the race, if that was 2-1 or 5-1 or whatever it was, that was the odds that everyone got. So if you put a bet on in a bookie far away, you got the odds that were in the race course.
Yeah, the starting price was dictated by the bookies on the race course.
Exactly. Yeah. So the key was to stop the information getting back to the race course that he was putting on actually quite small bets all around the country and kind of take them by surprise. And the way he did that was he got his friend Benny O'Hanlon to commandeer the phone box for 20 minutes before the race and stop anyone from getting into it. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it in any kind of aggressive or violent way. He did it by pretending that he had a sick aunt in Drogheda Hospital not far away, right, and that he was on the phone to find out how she was getting on.
So meanwhile, this army of 300 people around the country were putting small bets on Yellow Sam.
Yeah.
They were in a normal situation. Now they would be pushing down the odds. But because Benny was on the phone and none of this information was getting back to Bellewstown Racecourse, the odds remained at 20-1.
Exactly. So nobody at the racecourse had a clue. And so the horse romped home, completely surprised everyone. And they knew nothing of it until a little while after, when news started filtering back through that phone box, that actually a huge number of bets had been put on around the country, and he ended up winning around £300,000, which is probably around £2 million now. And that sort of set his fortunes in a different direction.
And that was completely legal?
Completely legal, yeah, absolutely legal. And I suppose you wouldn't get away with it now with mobile, and it's a different
system now.
You can't
get away with anything now.
Can't get away with anything now. But even then, you know, like Barney would always say, like, the bookies knew everything and they knew everyone, and they always could, if there was any whispers about anything, they'd know. So his thing was he'd been a manager of show bands, so he knew everyone in Ireland, and he knew enough people in Ireland that he could trust to keep quiet, that he could actually manage to do this, you know.
And he had it all planned. He even went to the Brogan's house beforehand, and he got the woman of the house to drive him to the racecourse because everybody knew his car.
Exactly, which, and because they thought if he didn't show up, then the horse wouldn't have a chance. Like, why? You know, if the horse had a chance, then surely the owner would be there. But you know, if the owner, if he didn't even bother to show up, then there's no chance this horse could be.
So he watched Yellow Sam win, knowing that he was going to win 300,000 from behind a bush.
A gorse bush in the middle of the track, and just through filming it, I've now stood in that gorse bush a few times myself, watching the horses go by. Right. It's quite a good view.
And that, it doesn't end there. He's such a fascinating man. So with his winnings from that, he bought a house, a mansion, I suppose. Would it be a very large house?
Kind of in Newmarket, he bought a whole kind of stables.
No, but before that, house in Mullingar.
The house. Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. so much to it. The house in Mullingar. Yeah, he bought a house in Mullingar, which it was actually in the program, The Great House Revival, about a year and a half ago, which I was also involved in.
Right.
And so it's a massive house. It's been a hotel since, and so on. And after a couple of years living there, he decided he wanted to move to the UK. So he decided the best way to sell it was to raffle it off. And some people, I'm sure, will remember that story. And so he had a huge number of takers for the raffle, which is £200 a ticket. And he ended up taking home 1.8 million from the raffle.
After buying it for a million.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets sort of poignant and nearly sort of circular in that, you know, we mentioned that he was trained to be a Jesuit priest. Charlie, who was his son, who was the apple of his eye by all accounts, died tragically at the age of 18 in a road accident. And it made Barney reassess his life.
Yeah, well, he calls his son, he was my dream. Now, his two daughters as well, Maria Louise and Catherine, and they're all a very, very close family. But I think with Charlie was sort of burgeoning jockey and stuff like that, and they had a really strong connection in that regard. And then just tragically, at the age of 18 in 1995, he lost his life in a car accident, and Barney was at a huge low. And it was the visit of a priest to him that he tangentially knew, who convinced him to say, look, come on, come to Zambia with me. I want to show you what I'm doing over there. Barney went there, and it kind of just gave him a hugely new lease in life. And he ended up diverting, I suppose, the rest of it, his attention and his money towards charity for the following kind of 20 years, and raised millions for his charity, Direct Aid for Africa. And they built schools and hospitals and all sorts, and transformed the life of many people.
And that's on tonight after the news. And we leave the final words with Barney Curley and his thoughts on gambling.
It's impossible to make gambling pay. The bookmakers always win. And if you're winning, they'll not allow you to win. The only way to beat them is do something like Yellow Sam. The only chance you have. And then, zip, no more.
No more. There's the late Barney Curley there. Tonight after news on RT1. Ross Whittaker, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.